Reporter at 10:10 on April 24th, 2006. For the record, we have present Representative
Berkowitz.
Berkowitz.
It's only been 10 years, Norm.
Berkberg, Representative Coring, Representative Harris, Representative Rokberg, Representative Coghill, Representative McGuire, and Representative Guttenberg. We have a quorum to do business. Today's calendar is in our House Bill 362, and we do have a
Mr. Chairman?
A brief, we do have a CS that absorbs this into HB 13, Representative Harris.
Maybe so we can get discussion going on, I can move that we take up for consideration CS for House Bill number 13, the slash in the shell 42006 version of the working document.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative
What we have to do is we have to rescind our action in adopting
that's right.
In reporting the legislation out of committee last time.
That is correct.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we rescind.
Representative Coghill.
Sorry, we did do that.
I would move that we rescind our action in moving CS for HB 13 rules out of committee.
Any objections to rescinding our action? Seeing none, so ordered.
Now I make the motion.
Representative Harris.
Now I make the motion I just made.
Go ahead, restate it.
Oh, I move that we take into consideration CS for House Bill 13, the slash in Shell 42006 version. It's a working document.
Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. We have before us the committee substitute for House Bill 13 rules. In version, have the sponsor, Representative Gatto, for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. HB 13 started out quite a while back as a simple extension of school debt reimbursement at 70% and 60%. It's since been modified. What we have before us today is commonly what we're calling 60-40 that extends out. Now, for the record, MATSU has an election on May 2nd that has the existing 70% for one school and the existing 60% for a second school. Should that election fail, then they would be eligible to also have another election yet, the third election for school bonds, but that's a whole nother matter. What we have in this work draft here is the 60-40 schedule, and with my understanding is no cap. I've read the language looking for a cap. I could not find a cap.
Carl, could you move the mic a little closer to you?
Okay. Oh, that's what that is. Okay. I saw on page 8 here, as is going over it with Superintendent Colmo, saying, well, we got this number of almost $180 million on page 8 here, and it does say may not exceed virtually $180 million, give or take three-quarters of a million. One of the more important things, it's also rolled in the student base allocation of 5,380 up from 4,919, which would be the equivalent of 96, am I correct, 96 million to the student base allocation.
Mm-hmm.
there may be some other amendments that are not included in this bill that we'll probably see when it gets to the floor. With that, I know Mr. Eddie Jeans, the Director of Finance, probably has some things to say, and if you have any other questions, I'll certainly be happy to answer them. With that, can I turn it over to Mr. Eddie Jeans if there are no questions?
Just one question.
Representative Harris for Representative Gatto.
Thank you. Representative Gatto. So now if I understand this right, you said there's a cap on this?
Well, I was looking at page 8, line 14.
Right.
Is amended to read, the total amount of school construction projects are, pardon me? Okay. It's new information to me. It'd probably be better to have Mr. Jeans.
Yes, in front of you.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah, that's
I'm reading $179 million, is that right?
Right. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, let's Mr. Jeans answer.
And I think there was this issue about Representative Jewell School District being left out and now being included, and that's exactly $2 million. And if I'm correct, that's probably what the $2 million addition is about. But I'll let Mr. Jeans detail it out if you like.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thank
Appreciate
you very much.
Representative
Gatto. Mr. Jeans, sir, yeah, if you could, for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Department of Education and Early Development. Mr. Chairman.
If you could, why don't you try to answer Representative Harris's question first and then have your presentation.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to go right there.
Okay.
When the committee reported this bill out of the committee last time, there was one amendment to the allocations that were approved by the legislature last year, and that was under Senate Bill 73. That amendment added the North Slope Borough to last year's approval and to the amount of about $2 million. In fact, it was $2 million. So this committee amended last year's legislation to include North Slope Borough at $2 million. Then this bill under page 6, you see, would extend the debt reimbursement program for 60% reimbursement for those projects that qualify under the department's space guidelines. You have to get voter approval and department approval between November 1 of 2006 and November 30 of 2008. So it extends a new program for a two-year period. It also goes on to allow for 40% reimbursement for those projects that exceed the department's space guidelines. So this is very similar to the legislation that was passed under House Bill 2003, I believe about 4 years ago. So the percentages are a little bit different, but same concept. There are no caps for those projects authorized between November 2006 and November in 2008. The last thing this bill does,
Representative Harris.
So say that again. Now there are no caps. So anybody that goes out to bond under the 60% in this bill, there's an unlimited amount at that point.
Through the chair, Representative Harris, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative McGuire.
Yeah, Mr. Jeans, I just have a question. I represent District 28, South Anchorage, and my question is, were you part of the decision-making process that came up with the 60-40 split? And if so, if you could elaborate as to why you're recommending 60-40 as opposed to going back to 70-30, if we're going to reopen up this opportunity to build some schools. My district is one of those districts that is growing leaps and bounds. Every time I go home, there's a new housing development going up. Kids are crammed into the schools. We're going to have to build new schools. I know the Mat-Su Borough is also facing that. So we're the folks that are going to be taking advantage of it. My concern is that voters seem to be shying away from approving these bonds as it is. And going down to a 60-40 may make it even more difficult. So I just want to hear a little bit of discussion about that.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative McGuire. The 60-40 did not come from me. That came from Representative Meyer's bill that was introduced about 3 weeks ago that would open up the debt program. I will tell you the split between the two authorizations, 60 for approved, 40 for those that exceed our space guidelines, did come from the recommendation that the department made when we did our report back to the legislature on the effectiveness of House Bill 2003. And what we found under that bill was during that two-year window, voters and the department approved almost $700 million in debt reimbursement, and it was almost right down the middle. Half of them qualified based on our space guidelines. Half of those projects exceeded our space guidelines. And so that 10% variance in the reimbursement really didn't deter people from going beyond the department's space guidelines. So I would have to say this expanded variance between the two did come from that report, but the recommendation to go to 60% reimbursement came from Representative Meyer's bill that was introduced a couple weeks ago.
Mr. Jim.
Representative Berkowitz.
And the question of going to 60 or 70 is just a policy call by the legislature, isn't it?
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, that's correct.
And can I follow up, because Representative McGuire, I think, makes a good point. A number of areas of the state are having a difficult time getting bonds passed. You would think for schools they wouldn't have any trouble, but even for schools in a lot of cases they are. So is the issue coming from the Department of Education or from maybe the Department of Administration, is the issue a bond rating for the state? What is the issue? Can you explain it? I mean, why not at back up to 70 versus 60?
through the chair, Representative Harris, I have not raised that issue. It is strictly a policy call on the legislature what level of reimbursement they want to provide through the debt reimbursement program. But as I mentioned earlier, I did recommend that variance between those approved and those outside of our space guidelines be expanded.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Berkowitz.
What arguments would you suggest against going back up to 70%?
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, I wouldn't make any arguments one way or the other.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Meyer.
When the time is right, I'd like to offer an amendment to that.
Well, I am curious about the 40% myself. Mr. Jeans, that's for the non-qualifying or non-DEED approved?
Mr. Chairman, under House Bill 2003, the legislature approved two reimbursement rates.
Right.
One at 70% if you meet the department's space guidelines, if you work within those space guidelines. If you wanted to go beyond the space guidelines, the legislature said we'll participate in 60% reimbursement. I'm simply recommending that 10% variance wasn't enough to deter people from going beyond the department's space guidelines. And so I recommended that the legislature look at that and widen that gap a little bit. Basically, what I found was schools were being authorized beyond our space guidelines, and I think we need to take a look at that as a policy.
Are you saying that they're building too many schools in some cases, and the classroom size too small?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, I'm not saying they're building too many. I'm saying they're building them beyond the department's space guidelines, which apply to all school districts across the state. In other words, with our grant program, you can't get a project that's beyond the department's space guidelines on that grant list. If a district submits a project to us that exceeds our space guidelines, we reduce the scope to meet the department's space guidelines.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gettenberg.
Thank you. So the space guidelines, in one way it seems like it's meant to put constraints on the architect, the size of hallways, not extra wide, size of gym space. In that case, that might be an appropriate thing so they don't build a palace. But is there also provisions for an architect come in with a design that is 10% over your space guidelines, and that be permissible? Or is it 3%, or does it have to be right on the number or less?
Through the chair, Representative Gutenberg, the space guidelines allocate total square footage. We don't even tell the architect that you have to build a gym or how many corridors or how wide they have to be. We simply allocate space based on the number of students that building is intended to serve. Then it's up to the architect and the school districts to work together using the education specifications to design a building that meets the needs of that community.
So Mr. Chair, so it is just simply a number without any leeway above?
Through the chair, that's correct.
Further questions for Mr. Jeans? Mr. Jeans, I'm looking at this number. It is $96 million. There's an additional $6 million that added in the House Finance Committee. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Can you tell the committee why you believe that was done?
Mr. Chairman, the co-chair of Senate Finance has been working on the district cost factors. And I'm sorry, co-chair of finance, correct? No, I don't. Mr. Chairman, the co-chair of finance.
Yeah. Humor back in my life here.
Don't we all? Had been working on trying to get some adjustment for the district cost factors. It was my understanding that this was to put some additional money into the base student allocation just to increase the total revenue while those negotiations are continuing.
Well, is it? I'm looking at a chart prepared on 4-12-06. We have in our packet that there would be a loss to certain districts if we were to adopt the all or a portion of the last ICER study proposal for basic need on a geographic differential. Is this to make up for, allegedly to make up, or would it make up for any loss of monies, for example, in Anchorage?
Mr. Chairman, if any adjustment is adopted to the cost differentials based on the ICER study, a quarter, a half, or full implementation, as long as the legislature funds that adjustment, there is no loss to any school district in the state. I think what the chart that you're looking at is trying to represent is a redistribution of the total pie. And what I mean by that is you take a look at a particular school district and see what their ratio is to the total that's being distributed to state aid. So while they're showing negatives on that chart that you're looking at, I could point you to Fairbanks or Mat-Su, and if you look at their total state aid, you'll see in both cases they go up. But their percentage of the total has decreased. So it's a presentation issue.
Isn't it, Mr. Chairman? Isn't it true, Eddie, that you would have to bring your number one or your base up to begin with before you implemented the study? In other words, if you divide the amount of money that we have now, whatever it is, $800 million, $900 million, whatever it is, the total amount that we give, and if you divided that amount by the ICER study, in other words, you took and you implemented a quarter of it, even the big number one school district would lose.
Through the chair, Representative Harris, without new money to support the implementation of any adjustment in the cost differentials, there is a redistribution, and the larger communities such as Anchorage and Fairbanks pay for that redistribution. Right. But if the money's appropriated with the adjustment, nobody loses.
Right. Everybody, if the base is brought up for everybody.
Correct.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I'm not mistaken, then the way that this bill reads is that the base that we have now, minus the $96 million that's proposed to be increased, is divided up. In fact, I guess with the $96 million is divided up under the present formula today. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, that's correct.
And then the proposal, which we don't have before us, but the proposal that's being talked about would divide another $24 million, I think, if it was like a quarter of the ICER study, up according to the ICER study. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, that would be correct. It would be divided or allocated based on implementing one quarter of the increase of the ICER study. And under that scenario, all districts except for Anchorage would have an increase because Anchorage was the base.
Okay, so if I just follow one more time. So instead of the $90 million, I think what the $96 million is, I'm trying to get to the reasoning for the $96 million. I think the $96 million is sort of a lead-in to what the possibility might be in the future of an amendment to say, to make Anchorage whole, you have to add another $2 million to the pot, and if you do that, then you, and according to the formula, you end up with $96 million total, two of it to the Anchorage School District, and the rest of it split up, and then you could do the $24 million on ICER. Everybody would be held whole.
Through the chair, that's my understanding. Okay.
Reverend McGuire.
Thank you. And just a bit of digression, because you're with the department. I think a frustration that I've felt, and I know other members have felt, is we really want to get this right. We want to get some kind of a formula down that's fair to all parts of Alaska, to all the students. And so we elicit these studies, they come back, and we seem to find flaws in them. And I guess I'm asking you publicly to be thinking about, I know we've been talking about trying to do another one of these studies, trying to go out and see their companies out there, the firms out there that maybe have a better expertise. We know that the area cost differential is a problem, But the other thing we know is that areas like Anchorage, the Mat-Su, and Fairbanks are growing by leaps and bounds. And so you've got kind of two different things that you're dealing with. On the one hand, the student formula right now, SB 36, takes into account the number of students. But some of us believe that, you know, for every student that you add, it may not go up quite enough to cover the cost. And then the folks in Wrangell and the folks in Kenai, boy, they're suffering. You know, they're at the same number, if you will, as Anchorage. And yet we know that the cost of running their schools is higher. So this is off topic, and I appreciate your indulgence, Mr. Chairman. But we're trying to make, here we are at the end of session, trying to put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound once again. And I think we'll do it. And I think we'll limp through the end of session, and most folks will end up complacent at best. But in the end, I think we've got to come up with a solution. And I would appreciate your department's leadership and your leadership in trying to identify how we could get to a better formula.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Berkowitz.
You know, there's not a lot of us sitting around this table who were here when SB 36 was enacted, but I remember the debate, and I've listened to the debate since it was enacted, and the reason why it passed was it was the first time in a number of years that the legislature actually added money into the foundation formula, and that purchased a lot of support amongst legislators who were skeptical about the allocation component of it. But I also recall at the time that SB 36 was passed, there was extensive commitments made by a number of proponents of the bill who said, this is not perfect, we're going to fix it down the line. And I've been here 9 years since then. And every time there's a study that comes up that suggests what some of the flaws might be and how to repair them, those studies get ignored. And every year, there's some brute force solving of some of the problems that are built into SB 36. It is not a well formula. It is a formula that should be fixed. And at some point, you know, some future legislature is going to have to do it. But for people to operate under the illusion that SB 36 works ignores the reality of how over the last 9 years, every year, the legislature has had to go in and brute force solutions, particularly for the eroding floor problem for rural schools. And every year, there's some problem with it. So maybe next year, you know, if the Red Sox can win the World Series and the White Sox can win the World Series, maybe we can get a good foundation formula.
Any further questions?
That's a campaign speech if I ever saw.
I would just make a brief comment that I agree with, in the main, with what Representative Berkowitz just said. I was here when SB 36 was enacted. There was a mandate within the bill to require studies, which was the initial McDowell study. There's been at least three formal studies since that time, all of which have not been accepted by the legislature for a variety of reasons. And I believe that I would agree with Representative Berkowitz's characterization about having to use brute force, if you will, and political suasion to get a budget built by the end of the year. There was a clear recognition that SB 36 was not accurate or an elegant finished product because of the cost differential issue in the main, and that remains a problem. I think we need to look at that, and I will be talking about following up on that within the framework of our legislation in the next few days. Thank you very much, Mr. Jaynes. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Reverend Dowdy, you want to make a very quick comment, and then I'm going to give Ms. Como an opportunity to testify in our very brief time that we have here. This may be your one shot, Gerald, to have a say here. For let's say, go ahead, Representative Gatto, please.
Through the chair, Representative Harris, trying to put the history of what happened here, I think it's easiest to understand if we consider that Anchorage is a third of the amount of money we distribute. And when we added $90 million to the student base allocation, Anchorage would get $30 million. They needed $32 million because they had a $2 million deficit, so we changed it to $96 million. This gives Anchorage their $2 million, and everybody gains. Now we have a situation where it appears like Anchorage is fine. They've met their obligations. There is a catch, though. If you simply say, let us use the ICER study with no new money, that redistributes the existing wealth, And where under SB 36 Anchorage is at level, they drop under ICER. So in order to bring Anchorage back to a 1, you have to add a certain amount of money to ICER. My understanding is at a quarter ICER, we're going to need about 24 million. So we will probably see that amendment for 24 million to quarter ICER. There is one very important criterion that we have to remember, that when we do that, that is a permanent fix. When you add one quarter ICER, it's permanent. So next year, if you add, for every dollar you add, where Anchorage is looking for 33 cents, they won't get 33 that they got under SB 36. They'll get closer to 31. And so whatever fix we do, remember, when you take the same amount of money and redistribute it with different percents, somebody wins, but somebody loses. So I'm going to be very careful that what we have in front of us here with the new student base allocation is okay, makes Anchorage whole, and everyone else also gets additional money. And there are no deficits except individually. Some districts had a worse deficit than Anchorage did. But when we make a permanent fix, and that's not what's before us, but what will happen when we do that, if we don't add the extra money, Anchorage loses. If we do add the extra money and make it permanent, the next year Anchorage will get a smaller portion, Fairbanks will get a smaller portion, Mat-Su will get a smaller portion, just the percent smaller. If you have enough money to add, it won't matter. But that's the issue that I wanted to make pretty clear.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you very much, Representative Gatto. Superintendent Coma, I'd ask you if you would wish to testify. Would you care to comment on what Representative Gatto's analysis was and its impact on the Anchorage School District?
Well, I...
For the record, too.
Oh, I'm Carol Como, Superintendent of the Anchorage School District. I believe that it's very important that the base for Anchorage raise up if the ICER something is added, because we absolutely support some kind of an increase with a cost factor for the other districts in the state, but we also can't accept that Anchorage would not be made whole. Our concern is just getting the $2 million back would make us whole based on the things that we had projected, but it gives us no ability to enhance our programs and to meet some of the school board's priorities. It really allows us to maintain most of the current programs, potentially restore some of the cuts that we did build into the budget. Some we would not restore because we've redirected some of those funds into new programs like the Workforce Development Program at KCC, the King Career Center, which we feel is critical and needs to be continued. But there are a number of initiatives the board is very interested in that we cannot meet in any way, even with the $96 million. So that is that. Could I comment one thing on what Mr. Jean said is about the debt reimbursement?
Well, first I'd like you to...
Okay.
Well, actually, go ahead. I'll follow up with that. Go ahead.
One of the things that the 60% has done for us, it's not just space guidelines and the size of a building. We have a number of alternative programs in the Anchorage School District which needed remodeling, such as Polaris, the Chugach Optional School, a number of them, as well as the Eagle River High School. We could not get voter approval or the EED's approval for 70% on the new high school out there, because you look at the whole district population in high schools, we couldn't qualify as a district, but we clearly knew that the Eagle River High School needed to be in Eagle River and not busing a whole range of students from North Anchorage to fill it up. And so that is one of the arguments we made, that sometimes some of our alternative programs that have a defined population need to be upgraded. And so we pushed hard for the 60% back when that passed, and it's been very helpful to our community, so that our schools that meet the EED's qualifications are eligible for 70%, the others are 60%, and so that's been very important to us. With our failure of our bonds on April 4th, we're very concerned that 60-40 is going to be a very negative message to the taxpayers who already voted down the bonds at 70-60%, and with the cap that we were only eligible to submit $62 million worth of projects when we had substantially more project need, that also raised the cost to the taxpayers, and that they weren't willing to accept. So We are very concerned with the reduction of 60-40, though we'll take it if that's all we can get, because the current program expires October 31st, and we would have to bring a special election forward, and we're not sure that could get support in our community before October 31st at this point in time, but we haven't made an analysis of that.
And Ms. Comer, could you tell the committee about the analysis that or the statement that Representative Gatto made about the impact of, on the ASD if a quarter of the ICER recommended allocations were adopted and put into the base student allocation or adopted as a into the formula, I should say. Excuse me.
Well, I believe we're very concerned that unless the base is raised, then the just adding the quarter in for ICER is going to be a detriment to Anchorage, and I think that is a very negative factor. It's not just the number of students we're getting, it's the complexity of the students we're getting. We're getting increasing special education students that are very costly to educate. Our bilingual population's exploding, so it's more than just the numbers of students we're getting, the demographic needs. We need more support on the base because the federal funding's not coming along to support some of those populations, so we're bringing more and more out of it, out of the state funding and the local share.
I believe Representative Gatto indicated there would be more or less an eroding floor for Anchorage and some of the other larger districts if we didn't make sufficient appropriations to make up that the delta there that would be created. Is that?
I believe that is correct. I do believe that is correct, yes.
Reversal on the eroding floor, Representative Berkowitz.
Can you tell me what the increased energy costs were to Anchorage last year, as well as the PERS TERS cost?
Well, the TERS PERS in the general fund was $13 million in the budget we took to the board that's currently for next school year. I don't know. I think the average utility cost increases were right around 14% as an average. Some went up substantially more, some less, because of the increased utility rates, but I don't have that particular figure with me.
Park, what would you guess it would be, a couple million bucks?
Well, 14% of in the general fund plus all our other funds, I'd have to get that back to you if I could, because we have increased energy costs in our debt service fund, in our student nutrition fund, and some of our local, state, and federal grants that support programs, and those are rolled into all the total increase. So I'd have to get that back to you.
Could you get that to all committee members by the end of the day? We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I can call.
We need it quickly.
Right.
Yeah. Total increase, dollar figure in energy cost right. To the Anchorage School District. Okay.
Utility cost. Right.
Utility.
Any other school districts here that.
And if you break
that
down too, that would even be helpful, like the gas, electric.
Oh, okay. Right. All right.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you. Through the chair.
Question.
Carol.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, look at
you go. Before the end of the day.
Okay, the end of the day.
Representative.
Do you want me to answer now?
Let
right.
Okay, heat is 20%. Electricity is 10%.
No.
Water.
We need dollars.
Oh, that's what I thought. Yeah, right. Dollars we don't have.
Dollars.
That's
Reverend
what I thought.
McGuire.
We'll get them for you.
Hey, Carol, my favorite constituent. I have a question for you. If I were to propose an amendment that would change the 60% to 70%, would you need a corresponding increase in the total cap? Or would you be amenable to the baby step of 70%?
Well, we would obviously like the 60-70% back with no cap, because but we know our community will not support unlimited projects. So the 70-60 would be critical to us, and even if the cap, that would still help us then with leaving it at 60-40 with the cap.
Right, I was going to, yeah. You said, I'm sorry, I was distracted. You said we should have the cap?
No, we would prefer no cap.
I was trying to distract him.
I think the voters will determine the cap.
Yeah, and that's been our experience.
I see. Right.
And I will say, we feel that part of the reason some of our bonds went down was because we couldn't submit all of our projects for debt reimbursement because of the cap. And then, as you know, once we submitted the request to have the debt reimbursement approval, our other project went off the list, so we're not able to access the state list either, except for a few of our projects that we did not submit for approval.
Let's have a brief at ease.
Yeah.
We have an issue.
24th legislature, and...
promptly at 11.
Yes, promptly. And we will be
some people need to
reconvening this
afternoon. Norman, you and I
this afternoon.
We'd comb our hair, but yeah. We don't have much to do, so...
I know. But that's not... plus, we need some time to, in truth, consider some of the ramifications of some of the ideas we're kicking around this morning. So keep lobbying and talking to us, right, about that. With that, we will recess to the call of the chair.